So, hi, this is Allison of the No Filler Cast podcast, and I'm in Hawaii. I'm on vacation, and I got this message from on Facebook that said I was supposed to call this number, but I don't know why. So we're calling it. Hi. Hi, Nightwise.
Hey, Nightwise, you get that Nexus 7 yet?
Bye.
Make yourselves comfortable. My master will be with you shortly.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com. Tune tech to your way of life and let the technology work for you.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you are a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, ICS, or even Windows Mobile user, and want to tune technology into your way of life and let that technology work for you, we've got the stuff you need. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming episode, I'll be your host on this episode, where we are going to talk about the Sliders Workstation. For more information and the show notes, please visit the website www.nightwise.com, where you'll find the links to everything we talk about and a place to subscribe to the Nightwise.com media feed. You can subscribe to that feed via the URL nightwise.com/subscribe and get all of the Nightwise.com podcasts and screencasts delivered to your favorite podcatcher automatically. If you want to get in touch with us, you can, and we have brand new URLs. Nightwise.com/Twitter if you want to find us on Twitter. Nightwise.com/Facebook if you want to find us on Facebook. Nightwise.com.googleplus, all one word, if you want to go to the Google Plus. And if you are an old school homie and you do like to do the email sama, you can do that. feedback@nightwise.com. Hey guys and girls, it's great to be back again behind the microphone today, not in front of the camera, and well, according to the schedule, you should have had a screencast episode in your favorite podcatcher today. However, there is one organization to blame for this, and that is the Belgian Customs Department. The Belgian Customs Department have intercepted our Google Nexus and delayed its arrival until just a few days ago when I got the Google Nexus in my hot little hands, and I need some more time to play with it before I can do a video review, so you'll have to do with a podcast today. But hey, who's complaining? It's nice outside, the weather is good, I'm inside in the studio, windows closed, doors closed, sweating like a horse, bringing you what you want to hear, how to tune tech into your way of life, and we have one nice little show for you today. We are going to talk about the Sliders Workstation. The Sliders Workstation is one of these high-level audio episodes where I talk about how I use technology, and I'm going to touch a variety of topics on how I use my computer and all of my other electronic devices every day and how I get across the hurdles of proprietary software, proprietary hardware, and proprietary information. It's basically the Sliders 101, and I decided it was time to update the episode. We did this a couple of years ago, an episode like this, and today I wanted to, you know, give it a little bit of a freshening up. We're going to touch a variety of topics. And if you want to hear more about a certain topic, you know how to get in touch with us. We even have a Google Voice number for the US listeners. And I'll mention that at the end of the show because we're really, you know, packing the contact lines full of, you know, juice these days. So you can get back to us and tell us what you think. So as I said, if you want to have more information about a certain topic, just let me know. We'll do a special show about it. So without further ado, it's time to grab the magic coffee. Stir the magic coffee. Take a look at the Sliders Workstation right ahead of me and at the massive amount of show notes I have acquired over the last couple of weeks to do this episode. And let's get into the meat of the matter. The Slider's workstation. I know, it sounds mega cool, but let's just begin at the very, very beginning, because a slider, what is a slider, I hear you say. Some of you might not know, and some of you say, I think I looked up a slider in the Urban Dictionary, and I don't want to know what it is, because if it's something that's stated over there, and it was matching the description that's on the Urban Dictionary, I don't really think I want to have anything to do with it. Relax. A slider is not what's actually... some of the definitions in the Urban Dictionary are absolutely terrible. But what a slider actually is somebody who moves between several different operating systems, using and choosing whatever works for him or her. That is the basic philosophy behind the whole Nightwise.com podcast, of course. But that is also a basic philosophy in life. And I want to start out with that. Nightwise.com and being a slider kind of embraces the same things. We don't believe in religions. And with religions, I don't mean Muslim or Christian or whatever. That's all fine with me. I believe in brands and religions. I don't believe in fanboys. I don't believe in people who chant the name of Tim Cook before he comes on. I don't believe people who want to buy crud that's on the bottom of Richard Stallman's sandals in order to put it in their mouth. I don't believe in the or word. Because when you take a look at the tech world today, and there are several big sections of technology. You have the Windows side and the Linux side and the Mac guys, and you have the iOS dudes and the Androids. And in the Androids, you have like the HTC fanboys and the Google fanboys and the Samsung guys. And in Linux, you have the Ubuntu guys and the Mint guys and the Red Hat guys. You know, there is so much to choose from. And choose is the magic word, because if you talk to several people who are in these several camps, it's this thing that I have right here is the greatest thing since sliced bread and is awesome, and everything else is total and utter doo-doo and total... What did it say in Star Wars? Oh, poodoo. Bumpa-poodoo. That is... poodoo is doo-doo. You know what I mean. It's everything outside of my little realm is total and utter poodoo. Everything sucks except the thing I'm using right here and is wonderful. And I absolutely detest that, because you as a user have a responsibility, and that responsibility is not to company X, Y, or Z, or Free Software Foundation X, Y, or Z, or, you know, brand X, Y, or Z, or company X, Y, or Z, or system X, Y, or Z. That first priority, that first allegiance you have to swear is to yourself, because you are the most important thing that is going on in your digital environment. It's all about you. It's not about a brand. It's not about a device. It's not about an application. And it's not about a sort of proprietary code or whatever. It's about you. You using technology and letting that technology work for you. If you want to do something and you can only do it on a super expensive system and you need to work to get to that super expensive system, wrong. That is you working for technology. It has to be the other way around. Technology has to work for you. Technology has to support you, and technology has to enrich your life. It has to make it more easier to do stuff. You don't have to spend hours migrating between operating systems, trying to copy over data or get stuff out of one system into the other system or from one brand to the other. No, 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 no. That's not how it's going to be. You are the most important chain. You are the most important focus in your technological life, and that's why you matter. And that's why you are a slider, because it's not about or, system A or system B. It's about and being able to use Windows and OS X and Ubuntu and iOS and ICS and whatever web cloud stuff you want to use. You have a choice, and you don't have the choice of A or B. You have the choice of A and B and some D here and some B there and some C here and some Z here and then perhaps a slice of Y. I really like a slice of Y. If that's what works for you, that's good enough for us. That's what the whole Nightwise.com philosophy is about. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How I use the and prerogative to use and Linux and Apple and my Android tablet and my Android smartphone and my iPhone and my Linux machine and my several cloud services to make tech work for me. So Before we get started, let's just take a look at the hardware that I have where I work with. As I said, I am not a brand believer. I am not a fanboy that says it has to be that brand or nothing, and everything else is bad. I want to give everything a chance, whether it's Apple or HTC or, you know, I don't care, Acer with a Windows phone, or it's something from Alibaba or Deal Extreme. If it works for me, fine. But I get to choose. So what do I have here around me? I'm gesticulating wildly, pointing at all the things in my office. Well, let's just see. I've got a PC desktop. It's a Picard Bell. I would never have bought a Picard Bell, but actually, it was very cheap, and it's very decent, and there was Windows 7 on it. That was nice. I immediately formatted it and put something else on it. But that's because I don't like, you know, Windows 7 out of the box. And then I have a MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro. Talked about this in a previous podcast. It runs Mountain Lion. Fine. Nice. Apple approves. Tim Cook smiling, Steve Jobs looking down at me from heaven, going like, you go, dude. But that's not all. It dual boots. Yes, because I want it to work for me. You know, I'm in my MacBook, working on my MacBook, working in, you know, snow leopard, lion, mountain cat, I don't know. And I think like, I really wish I could run IRSSI here. I could do this or could do that. So I dual booted it, put Linux on it. It's a dual booting MacBook. Then I've got a MacBook Air. Well, I don't really have it. Niana has it, but I steal it a lot because it's light. Upgraded it with a solid state drive. Not supposed to do that because Apple says, no, you have to buy a new one. As you can see, we don't do all. We do and. We hack our stuff together till it works for us. MacBook Air runs Mountain Lion Kitty, whatever. Pretty nice. I haven't dual booted that. Should get down to that. Then I have an iPhone, which I carry around with me every day. I have an Android phone, which I have for work. I have an iPad, and I have a Nexus. So if you take a look at all the proprietary systems out there, I say like, oh my God, everybody has his own software store and his own way to do things and his own files to store things and its own file formats and its own directory structure and its own applications. That has to be a terrible, absolute nightmare. Know what? It isn't. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to get your stuff done across all of these different devices. And I have a golden rule. The stuff that is tied down to a certain device or brand that I can only do on one machine, I have to kind of get rid of that as soon as possible. My workflows and the way I deal with information has to be adaptable across all of my systems, because quite frankly, otherwise I would be carrying everything around. I would be, you know, I would be like a walking eBay shop with my MacBook in my backpack and, you know, perhaps a PC netbook somewhere. And I've got my iPhone with me. And I also have my smartphone with my Android phone with me. I can't part with my Nexus, not yet right now. So I have to have that with me. And before you know it, I'm a digital pack rat that's just waiting to be mugged. So what I want, what my philosophy in life is, I want to be able to do or, you know, edit everything on everything. And that's how I do it. So that's my hardware situation. As you can see, very diverse. And then I've got an operating system garden. Let's call it a garden because it has a variety of stuff in it. I use Windows at work. Get this. I use Windows XP on a thin client. So that's like really, really extreme. You know, I can't put a USB stick in. Can't run any programs locally, can't do anything, don't have administrative rights. It's a thin client. That's what I use at work. I use OS X. As you know, I've got Mac OS because I do a lot of audio production on that. I can say or specify certain tasks to certain operating systems if it works on that one, as long as the data is as free as possible. So use OS X, happy about that. I got a OS X, let me see, Lion Mac Mini. Forgot about that one. Got a Mac Mini, i7. That's my main production machine. Sorry about that, Mac Mini. You're so small. Forgot you. That's running Lion Server, yes, and some VMs. Snow Mountain Lion Kitty, Mountain Lion on the MacBook Air. Snow Leopard. I haven't upgraded to Mountain Lion yet. Snow Leopard on the MacBook Pro because I do audio production on that and I don't trust the new OS just yet. Ubuntu 12.04 on everything except the kitchen sink, either in a VM or on my Windows, on my Windows PC, on my PC desktop, on my MacBook Pro, and in virtual machines all over the place. iOS, I have to deal with iOS. I've got iOS on my iPads, iOS on my iPhone, iOS on my iPod Touch, iOS on Yana's iPad and Yana's iPhone, so that's pretty iOS-y. Then I've got ICS, Ice Cream Sandwich, on my HTC One V I got from work, which is an absolutely dream to work with. It reminds me of the HTC Hero. I should do a review about it because it's a pretty cheap phone and it runs ICS, Ice Cream Sandwich, and it's pretty fast and pretty dandy and well built. I like it. It's the one I got from work and I'm really happy with it. And then I've got, of course, my Google Nexus, which also runs, actually Jelly Bean, one step up. So, okay, add another operating system to the mix. So those are all the operating systems that are floating around here. So basically there's kind of everything running except a lot of Windows. The Windows installs in this house are mostly concentrated inside virtual machines. Sorry about that, Windows. I don't run Windows 8 just yet because I want to wait until it's done and then it's probably going to run in a VM as well because, you know, I like my Linux-based, whether that's, you know, OS X or Ubuntu operating systems where I have a command line and I don't have that in Windows and, quite frankly, I have a choice. I don't have to run everything. I just have to run what works for me. So those are all the things that I've got running and that's actually, you know, just how I roll. That's what I deal with. And the most important part is to have ways to get my information across all of these systems without having to worry about, you know, boundaries that are put there by, I don't know, people who sell me stuff. Say like Nightwise can't do that because we sell you stuff and, you know, you're supposed to buy something else or only buy from us. No, we don't do that. We slide across from side to side. So we talked about the hardware that I have. We talked about the software that I use. Now I'm going to talk about my browser platform. And this is where it gets interesting because this is where I start to talk about how I use things on my different machines and in the different operating systems. Because this is going to be not only on OS X, not only on Windows, not only on Ubuntu. This goes across all of the platforms and these form or start to form the ecosystem I live and work in every day and that help me slide from A to B. So let's take a look at browser platforms. I am so old, I remember a time when a browser was a browser. A browser was used to surf the internet. And I remember starting out with Internet Explorer 3.04 and with Netscape Communicator 4.1, I think. I remember installing them on my PC tower running Windows 95, yes, and you know, using doing the modem samba to get on the internet. And a browser was like, you know, a window. It was a window to a web page and you would enter information and the web page would appear. And it would be like, oh, there's the web page. Wow, that's great. I read the web page and I type in something else and I go to another web page and I read the web page. And that was it. That was the only thing you could do with the browser. And we thought it was absolutely fantastic. Wow. This is like a window to the world and you use your browser to surf the internet. Those days are long, long gone because quite frankly, the browser has almost replaced a part of the operating system for me. Most of my time is spent, especially on desktops, in a browser because quite frankly, the browser liberates me from the operating system underneath and lets me do my thing. Now, always choose your browsers to be cross-platform compatible. For example, there is one that's called Safari. Safari isn't available on Windows anymore, not on Linux, and only on OS X. So if you really like Safari and you really have extensions, because Safari has extensions now, and you put extensions in Safari and you think like, wow, Safari is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you go to another computer that doesn't run OS X, no Safari. You go like, I don't have my fantastic browser with me. And that's actually quite a shame. So if you choose a favorite browser, always choose a browser that is a cross-platform compatible browser, because then you have that browser on your Windows machine and you have that browser on your OS X machine and on Linux and wherever you want to go, even on your mobile devices these days. And browsers are becoming more and more powerful, and they start to sync your bookmarks and your settings and the last page you had open, which is very, very bad if you surf porn at home and then you open up your PC at work. Not that that ever happens to me, but I've known people who have been there and, you know, synchronized open tabs. Not always a good idea, but you know what I mean. A browser that slides across different operating systems and different machines and gives you the same environment is a good thing. So, why is this? Well, quite frankly, because in this browser, you use a lot of web applications. As I said, back in the day, it was a window. You looked at a web page and said, wow, hello, web page. I'll read you and then I'll move on. But now you can just interact with the web page and tickle it and put information in it and drag stuff around. And, you know, this browser has become this operating system. So that operating system has applications, web-based applications. So you go like, well, wow, that's just, you know, fine and dandy. I've got cloud storage and I've got a web-based word processor and I've got a, I do my Hangouts in Google and stuff like that. That's great. Or you have a really, really nice web-based application that you use. Try to avoid stuff like ActiveX and Flash that tie you down to a certain operating system. I talk about one of the websites that I visit, have to visit sometimes, is the website of the city here. And, you know, we went there for the first time. And there was nothing on it. You know, it had some text and didn't have a navigation bar. I thought, like, that's odd. So I tried my Linux machine. Nothing. So I'm like, that's really odd. How am I supposed to click on anything? So I called up the city. I said, like, dudes, I think there's something wrong with the website. You mean, I've got a column on the left. And I think normally there should be buttons there, but I think the buttons are broken. She says, like, no. The buttons are just fine. And then I asked her, I said, excuse me, but what operating system are you on? She said, like, what? Yeah, I know. What operating system are you on? Oh, Windows. So I booted up a VM, and then there it was. Boom. These buttons were made in ActiveX. ActiveX only runs on Windows. So all of the people that are not using Windows couldn't use the website. So try, if you choose web applications, not to choose stuff like ActiveX or even Flash. Because, quite frankly, things that tie you down to a certain base operating system, well, that's something you don't want. And, you know, speaking about those applications, you want those applications to really work for you, to be easy to read. So you don't type in your email and you don't type in your web application A and web application B. No, you use your bookmarks bar of your favorite browser to store those web applications. So just drag the links of your favorite web applications to the bookmarks bar. You know, you have to activate it in some. And then change the words of those applications. For example, if it says mail.google.com, you just right-click and say rename and you call it webmail. And then it says calendar.google.com and you rename it and you call it cal. And it says googleplus.google.com, and you rename it and just type Gplus. And that way you fill up your bookmarks bar with icons to your favorite services. And before you know it, your bookmarks bar is actually your application launcher. And then when you use a smart browser that syncs not only the bookmarks, but also the bookmarks bar across different systems, you will always be presented with the same environment. The things I use are Chrome, which I really like because, quite frankly, Chrome's everywhere. Chrome's on my OS X machine, on my Windows machine, on my Linux machine, it's on my iOS machine, and it's on my ICS machine. Everywhere. Chrome syncs the bookmarks, so Google can track your every move and probably predict when you'll die or plot the spot that you'll get in the funeral on the graveyard before you even want to go there. And when you go there with your hearse and they put you in the ground, there's an ad that kind of is targeted at you, but you're dead and it doesn't help anymore. But no matter. Chrome's everywhere. I don't really mind sharing information with Google, but it's not the only thing that I use. So that's good. Then there's Chromium. Chromium is for Linux. It's an open source clone of Chrome. It works the same way, but it's not real Chrome. And I use it when I want to surf things that I don't want to share with Google. Because when I use Chrome, I log into Google so I can sync my bookmarks and my settings and my extensions. But when I don't want to do that, I use Chromium. Firefox, also almost available everywhere. Also nice and open source and has a ton of extensions and I really like it. And there's Opera. And I don't know why I use Opera, but I had I once read an article that, you know, 97% of people that use Opera have an IQ of 140 and more. So I decided I got to use that just, you know, to make the statistics work. So that's really important. And especially Chrome and Firefox offer you the ability to do extensions and add-ons. And that will really enrich your browser and bring that operating system feeling to your browser. Because let's face it, your browser is much, much more than your browser. You gotta actually see it as your operating system. And in that light, it is actually perfectly possible to amplify some web services. For example, one of my social media things I'll get into a little bit later on is Hootsuite. I like Hootsuite. Hootsuite's nice. It's a web page, really, where you get to tweet and post updates to Facebook and do searches. But it's a web page, you know. You have to type it and hit enter and surf to there. You don't have to. There are some applications out there that let you amplify a web page. So it will make a separate window with no browser buttons or anything that will go straight to that website, and you can use that window and that icon as an application icon. So right now I've got a Hootsuite application icon in my launcher bar. And when I click it, I get a window goes open and I go to Hootsuite, and it looks like an application, but it's really not. It is a Fluid application on OS X and a Fogger application on Linux. And I think it's called Prism on Windows. These applications, Fluid for OS X, Fogger, for Linux, and Prism for Windows, let you treat a web page like an application. So instead of having 20,000 gazillion tabs open on your browser, you can really make icons for several web services and treat them as if they were an application. So what's so great about that? Well, quite frankly, I have these shortcuts to Hootsuite across all of my systems. So if I want to open up Hootsuite on Windows, it's just an icon. I just click it. Boom, there it is. I don't have to open up a browser. I don't have to go to a URL. I don't even think about it. It's an app. It's there. And Fluid and Fogger and Prism will let you do that. So having web-based applications without a browser around it. As I said before, extensions are also very important. In Chrome, I have several extensions. I don't have a lot of extensions because, quite frankly, extensions kind of slow you down. So what do I have? I have an Evernote extension. We'll talk about Evernote a little bit later on. When I come across a web page and I think like, ooh, dude, I gotta read this when I get home. So I just press the Evernote button. It actually scrapes the website, puts it into Evernote. I have a Gmail extension that lets me go straight to Gmail. And when I click an email link, it opens up my Gmail. I have a Hootsuite extension. When I click on it, the URL that I have is automatically posted to Hootsuite, and I can actually post it to all of my social media circles at once. That's about the major extensions that I use every day. There are tons of other ones, but I'm not really that extension savvy. I have people who do the most crazy things in Firefox, but you know, I don't really go that deep, but I do use what works for me. And I must say the Evernote widget or extension and the Hootsuite extension and the Gmail extension are kind of enough for me. And there are tons out there. There are a ton out there. So if you have any great extension that you want to share with me, please let me know, because I'm always willing to learn. But those basically let the browser work for me. With these extensions, which I have available everywhere, I've got the same browser environment practically everywhere. I've got my extensions everywhere. And no matter what operating system I'm on, I can do my thing. And how I do my thing is kind of, you know, something we'll talk about right now is how I do applications. But, you know, as you can see, when you start to slide, your browser becomes kind of your operating system. And your operating system doesn't really matter anymore, because there are really days that the only difference that I know, because that I'm using a Mac or I'm using Linux, is that I have to press the Apple key, Apple copy, or command key, as you call it, command copy, where I have to type control copy in Linux. And those are the only things that actually give me a sign that I'm on another operating system, because the hardware for me is the same. And the browser and the browser environment is the same. And I always have to think, oh yeah, by the way, it's, you know, command key C for Apple and control C for Linux. And sometimes I mess those up and then I think, oh yeah, right, I'm in the other operating system. That's how it's supposed to be. You have to experience the operating system as a transparent layer. You can only do that if you use applications that work everywhere, kind of cross-platform. And then you also have to manage your information. So we're going to talk about Office and word processors in the next part. So stand by. Here we go. The most hilarious thing is when I, you know, sometimes I'm in a store and, you know, people are looking at a computer or a Mac or whatever, and I'm standing there and they go like, wow, this Mac's really great. Yeah. Wow, I wish I had a Mac. Yeah. I can't use a Mac. Why not? Because I use Office. What? Come on. You can't make a choice of the hardware or software that you please because some company decided that they would use Office. They would sell you Office and you use Office, and that's why you can never ever buy something else and you always have to be stuck in Windows because you use Office. That's lame. And you can't do anything else, because when there's a new version of Office, you have to buy the new version of Office because you've been using Office all my life. And you can't switch to anything else and your computer's dead and you want a Mac and you can't because there's Office and it's not the same Office. And come on, you are not a corporate slave. You are not locked in by some big organization somewhere in Redmond or Cupertino, for all I care, because you use one of their applications. That is exactly what they want. So you have to be smart. You have to kind of let go of proprietary software that only works on one system. You have to let go of proprietary file formats that only work in one application, that only runs on one operating system, that only runs on one piece of hardware, locking you in all the way. You have to be smart. For me, Office is something I don't spend a lot of time in. Basically, I use Office to open documents if I have to, and that's it. I'm not an Office-y guy. Give me a spreadsheet, I'm lost. You know, the only thing I do in spreadsheets is have tabs and have columns and sort information. Don't ask me a formula. No way. PowerPoint, really? I can make really nice presentations in anything, but I don't believe in PowerPoint. Excel, Word, PowerPoint. Oh, sorry, I fell asleep there. I don't really get very excited when it comes down to Office. There is OpenOffice. OpenOffice is nice. OpenOffice is free. OpenOffice does 99% that Office does, but it costs 1% of the price, minus 1% discount, because it's free. And OpenOffice works on your Mac, on your Linux machine, and on your Windows machine. And it works everywhere. And if you don't want to go into the .docx format, which is especially designed to lock you into Microsoft Office, and you just use .doc and .pdf and .ppt and .xls, and you know, those things that everybody opens, OpenOffice will do just fine. If Office 2003 was the world for you, and you said, that's all I'm going to need ever, and you said the only thing that Office 2003 misses is Clippy, OpenOffice is great for you. But it's an application. And quite frankly, I don't use a lot of applications anymore. What I try to use is web-based applications because I like to live in a browser and it, you know, my information is available everywhere and it's in the cloud and I can do it on every system. And I'm kind of a Google slut when it comes down to that. I use Google Docs quite a lot because, quite frankly, I have my browser with me everywhere. And in that browser, we have the Google apps, you know, Google Writer and Google Spreadsheet and Google, I don't know what it's called. Google bore people to death with presentation software. And it just works for me. I don't have a lot of functionalities. That's good because I don't use a lot of functionalities. Quite frankly, for the day-to-day things, the fact of having my information and being able to edit that information anywhere is much more valuable than having all kinds of spiffy functions where I can make Word art or kind of trick Excel into recompiling my financial data into code that can run the Large Hadron Collider. So, you know, Google Docs, they're in every browser, works everywhere, got it with me everywhere. Google Apps, nice for me. Now, if I want to make a flowchart, I really like Gliffy. Gliffy is nice. Gliffy kind of lets you make flowcharts. Nice. Like it. MindMeister, if I want to make a flowchart. This show notes have been drafted in MindMeister because I didn't have... First, I did it on the iPad with a proprietary iPad app. And then I got my Nexus and then wanted to work on the show and that didn't work. And then I was, you know, behind my MacBook Pro and I wanted to work on a show because, my iPad wasn't charged. I thought like, no, screw this. I need a web-based mind mapping application. MindMeister, really nice. You can have 3 free mind maps at the same time. And if you have more mind maps, you have to pay more. But what I do is I just have one. I use it, and when I'm done, I erase it, and I start again. To-do. I like my to-do list, and my to-do list should be available everywhere, on every single device. Wunderlist does it for me. Wunderlist has a client for Linux, for Windows, for Mac. So you have a to-do. You can make lists and enter stuff. Syncs with the cloud. It has a client for my iOS machine, for my iOS tablet, my iPad, thus, my iPhone, and my Android phones. So I've got my to-dos with me everywhere. I don't mind a local application, but it has to run on everything, and it has to sync that data via the cloud. That's very, very important. Evernote, love Evernote. I use it for notes, voice notes, I make little photographs to remember things. Really like it. I use it as a word processor. I use it to clip websites and things that I want to deal with later. The only thing that I don't like is that it doesn't have a Linux client, but it's all on all of the rest. And on Linux, I use it using Fogger as a web-based interface. So I kind of use the web-based interface of Evernote, which is nice, which means I've got Evernote everywhere. And where I have the Evernote client running on my Mac and on my Windows machine, I can even use it offline. And that's something I really like. If you use the mobile clients and you use the paid version, you can even have your notes offline on the mobile clients. But Evernote is, you know, 99% of what a word processor does for me. And you can add pictures and you can record videos and you can snag websites and you can record voice memos. It works for me. I like it. As I said, MindMeister is great for diagrams, but I also use iThoughts HD on iOS, which I kind of like because it works nice, but it's kind of hard to sync the data across multiple machines, and it's only available on one machine. But you know, when it comes to Office and you know, basic workflow application, it really, you know, does the trick for me. But you can't work all the time. You have to relax too. So let's take a look at multimedia and entertainment in the next part. We'll be right back. multimedia, and entertainment. Now, there are two major lanes that I want to take when we're driving through this part of the Sliders workstation, and that is the content consumption part and the content creation part. Now, when it comes to content consumption, I'm pretty much like all of you. I like my things that I want to listen and watch anywhere on any device synced across the whole planet, and being able to consume and listen and read whenever I want to, wherever I want to. When it comes to content creation, it's kind of a different thing. I do, if you didn't know, podcasts and screencasts, and I create websites. You know, websites not, I don't create websites, I create articles for websites. Websites are created by people who are much smarter than me, like, for example, Katie Murray and Gerard from Mona Mona Communications. Those are the tech guys, those are the smart guys, and there's also Code Monkey Rob. Don't forget Code Monkey Rob. When it comes to content creation for me, I kind of break my own rules. Because I want to be able to make content with any device that I have with me, but I want to be able to edit that content as fast and as efficient as possible. And for that, I make sacrifices because I use proprietary systems and proprietary software to get stuff done. Why? Because I want to have a very fast workflow when it comes to that. Because otherwise, I'd be spending hours and hours editing and behind the microphone. So I use what works for me, and I don't do the or on everything. I just do the, this works for me, it's on that system, that's fine. All the rest, I slide across. But let's start with content consumptions. Music. What I really like about listening to music is that you have it with you everywhere. And to be quite frankly, I stream a lot of music. I use a lot of radio stations to listen to music. And I also use Spotify. Spotify is available on my Linux machine, on my Mac, on my Windows machine. So that's, you know, just what I want. I'm fine with that. I stream a lot of music. There are always a lot of media or radio stations you can listen to in a browser. And that's fine with me. I don't mind if I don't have my music collection that I selected on my portable device available on every desktop that I work with. My music collection is on the Mac Mini over there. It's backed up to 3 locations every single day, and I sync whatever I want to listen to the different devices that I have. But, you know, when I don't have the devices with me and I have another workstation, I don't care. I just stream it. I stream using Spotify, for example. When I'm on Linux, I use Amarok because it has a lot of, streaming radio stations as well. Sometimes I stream music from the Mac upstairs to speakers on the downstairs or into other applications like iTunes. Now, beware of iTunes. iTunes will lock you in. It will organize your music according to the iTunes way, give you a nice playlist, and you'll never ever be able to get it out without taking a week off work in order to get it done. It's a music management server just like Amarok or whatever Windows alternative you would use. God forbid you use Windows Media Player, whatever is your fancy, not using that. But it does lock me in. And iTunes on a Mac is kind of okay, kind of. But iTunes on Windows is absolutely terrible. So be careful when you use iTunes. And try, if you do use iTunes, only put in iTunes that you really, really want to have in iTunes. Because otherwise, if you can do it differently, do it differently. And that is what I did with podcasts. I love to listen to my podcasts. They are very important to me, and I used to listen to them, download them on iTunes and sync them over with a little cable, and then I got annoyed, and then I found all these fancy scripts to download them using GPodder and sync them over via some fancy script. But quite frankly, your portable device on which I consume podcasts, I don't listen to podcasts on the computer because I can't work and listen at the same time. I listen to podcasts when I'm vacuuming or driving or whatever. So it's always a mobile device that I'm using. So, you know, these mobile devices have about the graphical power of a small 1998 data center. Why should we, you know, why not let them take care of themselves? So, you know, I use Downcast for my iPad, where I download my video podcasts. I use Downcast for my iPhone, where I download my audio podcast, and it's great. It does everything in its own right. Now, I know Apple's going to do iOS 6 and going to kind of disconnect the whole podcasting experience from iTunes straight to the mobile device, giving it a standalone function, which they should have done years ago. But, you know, quite frankly, Apple wants you to take a look at iTunes because iTunes links to the iTunes store and they want you to buy stuff. So that's why that is. So Downcast, $2, really like it. Downloads and helps me find new podcasts on my iPhone and screencasts on my iPad. Like it. Can stream the podcasts or the screencasts or can download them. On my Android devices, I have Dogcatcher, and I must confess I haven't used it there because I do most of my podcast listening on my iPhone. That's the one I have with me at work, on my way to work and basically everywhere. And, you know, I should look into Dogcatcher. I'm going to do that in the coming future because I also want to, you know, watch content on all of my other devices. Local podcasting clients, I still have them. I have Miro installed basically everywhere. It's available for Windows, for Linux, and for Mac. And that's about it. And GPodder on my Linux devices to catch podcasts should I need it to. But, you know, these days, my mobile devices take care of themselves. Screencasts. I like my screencasts. And speaking of screencasts, there are great apps out there that work on all the mobile platforms. For example, the TED application, the Revision 3 application, the Khan Academy application. And these are basically standalone applications that work both on Android and on iOS that download the video content that you want to see. Like it, you don't need a separate podcatcher. Here's the app right here, TED Talks, great stuff. Khan Academy, you know, you want to really have a good manual on how to do X, Y, Z. Absolutely fantastic. Downcatcher and Dogcatcher for the rest. And, you know, I try to download everything directly to the device I consume it on. Don't sync stuff over. Don't like it. Books, very important. I have two devices that I use to read books. My Sony PRS-505 and ebook reader that's starting to get ancient but still works very well, and it works with an SD card. And starting this week I read books on my iPad. I did that for a long time, and on my Google Nexus. So what I use is Calibre. Calibre is a free application on iOS, Windows, and Linux that lets you manage your ebook directory. Just pour all of your ebooks into Calibre, all of them. And Calibre will reset them to any format that you want to use if it's not a proprietary book. And then you can just export it to wherever you want to go. So you can select books, export them to iTunes so they get synced over to my iPad. But what I mostly do is I take the books I want to read and I sync them to a directory. That's where they are. So when I want to use my iPad, I use GoodReader to download over the network content that is stored on a certain directory to my iPad. GoodReader, $4, transfers files over Samba, over SSH, over FTP, from Dropbox, from wherever you want to go. Absolutely terrific crossroads. What I mostly do is I take the books, put them in a folder on Dropbox, it gets synced everywhere, and I can use the local Dropbox clients on all of my machines to just download the books and read them where I want to, except on the Sony, because the Sony is a device that's offline and I just have an SD card that I charge them up to. I store my Calibre library file on my Dropbox folder so I can use them on with all of the clients, the folders in the cloud, and I always have a backup. RSS, Google Reader, is great. There are other applications out there like Flipboard or Pulse, and those work on all of those mobile applications that you want to, you know, read your RSS on. If there's not a mobile application that that I'm using Google Reader straight from the browser. And to me, it's very important that if I read RSS feeds, I want an RSS reading application that syncs with Google Reader. That's my main source of information where I subscribe to RSS feeds or link articles through or go through articles and manage them. When I have an article that I want to read later on and it's just one specific article, I use Instapaper. I've got a little weblet in my bookmarks bar, press it, the article gets pushed to Instapaper. I have Instapaper clients on all of my mobile devices, and I can just read what I bookmarked on my desktop, no matter what operating system I'm using. When it comes to content creation, I'm going to be cut and dry. Audacity, I do recordings in Audacity. That works on Windows, Linux, and OS X. Great. Joe Kosher is a multi-track editor for Ubuntu. That's kind of the garage band for Ubuntu. You can check that out. It's free and it works nice. But basically, I use GarageBand on the Mac to record because that's my workflow and that is what works for me. I can record audio on all of my mobile devices. I use the voice recorder that comes natively. No, I use Tap-a-Talk on Android and I use Record-It on iOS to record audio should I need to. Screen recording is just done with the QuickTime recorder on my Mac machine and on whatever works on Linux, quite frankly, if I need to do screen grabs. And video editing, well, I use Final Cut Pro to do my video editing, and I do that on a Mac because that's my workflow. So that's content creation and content consumption. So it's kind of time to go to one of the last major and important things you do on your computer, and that is communicate. So your communication workflow, depending on whatever device that you want to use, you want to have your communications with you anywhere, everywhere, and possibly all at the same time. So that utopia is up next in the next chapter. When it comes down to communication, I have several devices I communicate on. I have my desktops I use for communications, and I have my mobile devices that I use for my communications. But I have a philosophy. Because there are so many people I communicate with, and that community I communicate with is a community that is really stretched around the globe. And they never sleep. And they never stop. And there's always somebody awake. There's always somebody that just had his first cup of coffee. There's always somebody that's really ready to go to bed. There's always somebody that's on his lunch break. And, you know, that party goes on 24/7. And if I were to have all of my communication channels open on all of my devices, I would not get anything done, including getting sleep. So I have a kind of a philosophy. I use my desktops for my content creation, production, basically making stuff. I use my tablet for content consumption and non-real-time communication. I use my tablets for reading, for watching videos, for listening stuff, and for doing emails, anything that's not real-time. I use my mobile, so my cell phone, my iPhone, and my Android phone for real-time communication. That means that I can either zero in on what I'm doing and use a desktop to produce content, or I can really sit down and relax and work on an email or read stuff or listen to stuff on my tablet, and I can quickly and anywhere where I am and with just one hand, you know, grab my phone and do my communications there. On my desktop, if I do some instant messaging or Twitter and stuff there, I use Hootsuite. Hootsuite's web-based application, talked about that, lets you post and read to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google+, and Foursquare, if you ever want that too. Don't really care. I've got it integrated with my desktop, as I said, with Fogger and Prism and Fluid. And for the real-time chats, I use Pigeon or IMO. Pigeon on the Windows, Adium on the Mac, and Pigeon on the Linux machines. Pigeon is a multi-platform chat client, which is nice, but I don't do a lot of IM anymore. Skype is one I use on all of my devices as well. And if I want a multi-platform chat client for iOS, I use IMO. IMO. IMO lets you also sign into all of the clients and do everything. The great thing about IMO is that it's also a web service. So you can log on to the IMO webpage, set up all of your accounts, and do real-time chat with any platform from any device. IMO client for the mobile devices, IMO website for the desktop. And if you want an app, you can do Pigeon or Adium. But as I said, I don't do a lot of apps anymore. Skype's nice. I really like it. Skype works everywhere. It works on my Android devices, on my iOS, on all of my Linux machines, Windows. I don't like iMessage. I don't like FaceTime. I mean, they're great. But, you know, I can only do it when I have a Mac. And I have to have my Mac with me. And it's really locked in. It's not open. I don't really like it. But basically, the combination of Hootsuite, Skype, IMO, and Google Hangouts allow me to communicate with anybody on any platform, anywhere, except for iMessage and FaceTime, because they are locked down. So I decided I'll not use that a lot. So I'll just use the other stuff. And that's how communication works for me. Finally, we'll go to one more important thing, and that is Nightwise. Where do you store all of this? Where do you store your data? Well, quite frankly, first of all, I have a central file storage system at home. I have a server, and that server has files on it, and that server has a file share. And that file share allows me to share those files with everybody. And that file share is a Samba file share. Why Samba and not, I don't know, NFS or Apple file sharing? No, Samba. Why? Because Samba works on everything. Every client in my house can access a Samba share. That information is also shared via SFTP, secure FTP. Why? Because basically there's an SFTP client for Windows, FileZilla, that's for Windows, Mac, and Linux. Let me see, GoodReader for iOS devices and ConnectBot and some other devices. I'll put some links in the show notes because I don't really have the name right now, that allow me to communicate via SFTP. So using those open standards, Samba and SFTP, I can share that information to any device. Then I've got portable storage. I've got some USB sticks and I've got some portable hard drives that I sync data to when I need to take it offline. And that portable storage can be plugged into any computer as long as it's formatted in FAT32. Then it works on every operating system. Cloud storage is important. I use Dropbox. I have a pretty big Dropbox though, so that works on all of my devices. Love it. And I use Google Drive. And that's it. That's all of my storage. I back up regularly to CrashPlan because that's an offline service that I use. And that's it. That's as simple as it is. And I try to do as much as I can in the cloud, but I do kind of take very good care of my privacy. So that's how I do the whole storage thing. There are a lot of other things I would like to talk about, but I'm going to leave them for an advanced episode because I would like to talk about using virtualization to get things done, using exporting, using live CDs. But I'm going to close down with the question, Nightwise, if you're so cloud-oriented, what the crap do you do when you're offline? Well, quite frankly, I've got Google Drive and Dropbox that sync offline to my devices. And I have the Chrome extension that lets me do my Gmail offline. And my mobile clients can do my mail offline. And when I'm offline, I'm offline. I just, do stuff offline. And if my cloud data is not available, well, then it's not available. I'll try to copy it over when I really need it. But quite frankly, the times that I'm offline are so few and far in between, I seldom have that problem. Connectivity is becoming so ubiquitous that you will have your data with you wherever you go, no matter where you are on any device, if you play it smart, like a slider. So that's about it with the cross-platform sliders workstation. Time to round up. Okay, by now your head has probably exploded with the amount of information that I've brought you today. So I'm going to keep this roundup short and very, very sweet because quite frankly, it is a lot to take in. And I just wanted to give a high level view on a slider's workstation. In another episode, we'll dive in detail on the details that you want me to dive into. And that's up to you. Just send me some feedback and let me know. And we'll take some of those things a little bit further. What I wanted to show you in this episode is, quite frankly, don't worry about being locked into operating systems. Let information work for you. Let stuff work for you. Let technology work for you. And don't let yourself be locked in just yet. Time to round it up. I'll give you the new feeds that we have. Nightwise.com/is, of course, the website where you want to go to for all of the links that we talk about. Nightwise.com/Twitter for Twitter. Nightwise.com/Facebook for Facebook. Nightwise.com/Google+, all one word, for Google+. If you want to go to iTunes and give us a review, Nightwise.com/iTunes. Indeed. If you want to subscribe, nightwise.com/mediafeed is the only link you have to copy into your favorite podcatcher and you'll get everything that we talk about. We would like you to drop us a comment in iTunes if you want to, because that will get us more listeners, or share one of these links with your friends. And we also have a Google Voice number, and I'm going to give you that Google Voice number right now. Just give me a second here to log into the right account, because quite frankly, I would like to share that one with you. Just bear with me here, because the voicemail that I got here at the beginning was one that we got on our Google voicemail. So I want to thank the guys from the GTK podcast, Geek Tragedy podcast, for giving us the opportunity to record a message, because it's a US number and Google Voice is not available here in Belgium. And thanks to the guys from the GTK podcast, we now have a Google Voice number, which is great, and we absolutely love it. Just give me a second to punch it up here, because I haven't copied it over, but it's really nice. And the voicemail that we got at the beginning was from Allison and Steve from the NoSillaCast podcast, and I really want to thank them for shipping me the Google Nexus, which we're going to talk about next week. So if you want to have a Macintosh podcast or a geek technology podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias, but she is starting to play with the Google too and the Android, just go to podfeed.com and check out their great podcast. Steve and Al really, really rock. If you want to be on the Nightwise.com podcast too, or, you know, like Allison did and Steve, just basically open up the show. You can do that if you're in the U.S. That is number 218-262-9237. 218-262-9237. So that's about all we have time for this week on Nightwise.com. Never mind where you are on Windows, on Linux, on your Mac, on your Droid, on your iOS device, or sweating like crazy and running on a treadmill while listening to this, Louisa. I hope technology works for you and not the other way around. That was me signing off to you guys and girls, and the guys and girls that are sweating and losing some pounds under cross trainer. Just keep at it. You look great, and you'll look even more awesome when you're done. Try not to laugh, because then you slide right off. Don't slide off the treadmill. Slide off any operating system that you use. See you guys on the flip side next week, when we try to review and try to, curb our enthusiasm and review the Google Nexus. See you then. Bye-bye.